In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. The cascading effects of the mandatory shots across a range of economic sectors has, for example, created delays in shipping container offloads in major U.S. ports. It's created a shortage of healthcare workers, a wide range of layoffs in the teaching sector. The fallout is reaching far and wide. I suspect this is about workers finding out how data has been hidden that reveal the real numbers of deaths and injury from the shots, despite the doubling down of censorship and related propaganda. Australian activist Monica Schmidt said, "We need to stick together and build a collective courage of conviction, a public galvanizing of which the corporate media spends billions trying to prevent." We hear a statement from Barbara Lowe Fisher, co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center, a nonprofit charity she founded with parents of vaccine-injured children in 1982 to prevent vaccine injuries and deaths through public education. We then hear another powerful presentation from attorney Tom Rentz. Tom was a guest on this show exactly 1 year ago this week. He's now gained serious traction since that interview. In a Washington Post article highlighting Tom's work, he said, quote, "I sincerely wish that the big firms would step up, but they have not, so it is left to nobodies like me." Many people now know this is the big move they've been warned about for at least the past decade, and without collective courage of conviction, this will continue to metastasize. Let's go now to hear the statement from Barbara Lowe Fisher.
My name is Barbara Lowe Fisher. My son was injured by DPT vaccine in 1980, and this is a reference commentary brought to you by the nonprofit National Vaccine Information Center that can be read on nvic.org. With the exception of Pearl Harbor and September 11, 2001, Americans have not been attacked by an enemy on our own soil. Unlike countries in Europe during World War II, America has never been occupied by a military force or locked down under martial law. We have never seen soldiers in armored vehicles patrolling the streets, warning us to stay in our homes or face arrest or worse. Beginning in 1776, when our freedom-seeking founders wrote the Declaration of Independence and stood their ground from Lexington and Concord to Saratoga and Valley Forge, and then came together to create a constitutional republic dedicated to protecting individual and minority rights, the United States of America has defined and served as a beacon for liberty for people around the world. This summer, we watched soldiers patrolling the streets of Sydney, Australia, with helicopters overhead, blaring warnings to a stunned, locked-down people to stay in their homes in the name of the public health. We have watched hundreds of thousands of people, young and old, gather together again and again in the streets of Paris, London, Rome, Athens, and Berlin. They are marching against authoritarianism, the kind of Orwellian authoritarianism embodied in government-issued vaccine passports that punish citizens for simply defending the right to make a voluntary medical decision for themselves and their minor children. A decision about whether to be injected with a biological pharmaceutical product that can cause serious reactions, injure, kill, or fail to work. The signs they carry say, "No forced testing. No forced vaccines. Stop the dictatorship. Hands off our children. My body is mine. Big pharma shackles freedom. No to the passive shame. Better to die free than live as a slave." In what has become a prophetic primal scream for liberty, governments are ordering the police to break up the largely peaceful demonstrators flooding the big cities and small villages of Western Europe, the first populations to organize massive public protests against old-fashioned tyranny dressed up in 21st century clothes. The people of Europe were the first to stand up for freedom during this government-declared public health emergency because they know how tyranny begins. They know what it looks like, and they remember what it feels like. They remember and are declaring, never again. Most Americans living today do not remember World War II, or if they do, it is through what their parents or grandparents told them about it. World War II was not fought on American soil. Americans went to war in Europe to stop the slaughter of millions at the hands of an authoritarian fascist government commanding the army of the Third Reich that killed in the name of the public health and safety, even as an authoritarian communist government slaughtered many more millions during a reign of terror in the Soviet Union. Most American children today are not taught what happened in China after World War II, when the Chinese Communist Party implemented the Great Leap Forward and the Great Proletarian Cultural Revolution. Those militant ideological cleansing campaigns imprisoned and killed tens of millions of citizens because they criticized or opposed authoritarian government policies. In America, we have taken our freedom for granted. Because while we have been willing to fight to defend the freedom of others, we have never been called upon to defend it in our own backyard. Most Americans have never imagined we would experience a serious threat to autonomy and freedom of thought, speech, conscience, and assembly. So deep has been our trust in the laws and cultural values, which have, for the most part, ensured fundamental freedoms in our country, that we never believed it could happen here. But the last 20 months have changed everything. Many Americans have begun to understand that tyranny can be disguised to look like safety, even as many others still cannot bring themselves to believe it. Striking fear into the hearts and minds of the people, the move toward authoritarianism in America began with government officials suddenly telling us, even children as young as 2 years old, that we could not breathe fresh air or enter public spaces without a mask covering our face. Millions of American workers, judged to be non-essential, lost the ability to earn a living so they could eat and pay rent during flatten-the-curve lockdowns we were told would last only a few weeks, but instead went on for months. Anyone who criticized government narratives about the origin of SARS-CoV-2 virus or questioned social distancing restrictions was immediately publicly shamed and censored. Any doctor who tried to provide early treatment for COVID-19 patients by repurposing safe and effective licensed drugs and nutritional supplements to help their patients survive the infection were also publicly shamed and censored. After the FDA granted Pfizer and Moderna an emergency use authorization in December 2020 to distribute their liability-free experimental mRNA COVID-19 vaccines in the U.S., public health officials enlisted big corporations to launch a hard-sell national vaccine advertising campaign targeting all Americans over the age of 12. Anyone who asked questions or challenged the hard sell was immediately censored on social media. State governments and employers were encouraged to threaten workers, especially healthcare workers and emergency responders, with loss of their jobs for refusing the vaccine. Private businesses were encouraged to deny unvaccinated citizens entry to restaurants, stores, and other public venues. By the end of July 2021, the Department of Veterans Affairs directed all VA healthcare workers to be fully vaccinated or lose their jobs. In early August, the Department of Defense announced that all military service members must be fully vaccinated when the FDA officially licenses a COVID-19 vaccine or lose their jobs. Suddenly, on August 23, the Pfizer mRNA vaccine was licensed without a public meeting of the FDA Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee and full disclosure of the scientific data supporting licensure. By the end of August, about 176 million Americans had been fully vaccinated, representing a 53.6% of our population of 333 million people, which is the third largest in the world. And studies had confirmed that the SARS-CoV-2 infection mortality ratio in the U.S. remains at less than 1%. But the executive branch of the U.S. government was not happy. Federal health officials had publicly set the goal of persuading 90% of Americans to get the COVID vaccine, although it is clear now that the real goal all along was a 100% vaccination rate. No exceptions and no questions asked. At the beginning of September, the politics of persuasion gave way to an iron-fisted approach, using the heel of the boot of the state to try to club 100 million unvaccinated Americans into submission. On September 9, 2021, the President of the United States followed the advice of top public health officials and, in effect, declared war on unvaccinated Americans. He scapegoated and placed all the blame for the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic on the unvaccinated, even though federal health officials admit that fully vaccinated people can still get infected and transmit the virus to others. And even though breakthrough COVID infections, hospitalizations, and deaths in fully vaccinated people are on the rise. And even though evidence shows individuals who have recovered from the infection have stronger natural immunity than those who have been vaccinated. And even though officials at the World Health Organization now say that the SARS-CoV-2 virus is mutating like influenza and is likely to become prevalent in every country, no matter how high the vaccination rate. The president told 100 million unvaccinated Americans that, quote, our patience is running thin, and issued an executive order that every person working for the executive branch of the federal government, more than 2 million people, must get fully vaccinated or lose their jobs. That order also applied to about 17 million healthcare professionals working in medical facilities that accept Medicare and Medicaid. There is no option for executive branch employees to get tested. The rule is get vaccinated or be fired. It is interesting that the order does not apply to workers in the judicial branch or legislative branch, which includes members and staffers in Congress. The president also ordered the Department of Labor to issue a rule that carries penalties of $14,000 per violation to force private companies with more than 100 employees to get their workers fully vaccinated or be tested weekly. He also called for all teachers and school staff in all schools to be fully vaccinated. The next day, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, criticized the president for not going far enough. Fauci said that the government should give Americans no option but to get injected with the biological product that some describe as a vaccine, others characterize as a genetic therapy or cell disruptor biological, and others allege is a bioweapon made in a lab in China with U.S. funding. Then Fauci said all children must be vaccinated or denied a school education, and all unvaccinated people must be banned from getting on an airplane. At the same time, a Virginia congressman introduced the Safety Travel Act that would require travelers getting on a plane or Amtrak train in the U.S. to show proof of COVID vaccination or a negative COVID test within 72 hours of boarding. Today, people in some cities are being denied entrance to restaurants and stores if they can't prove they have been fully vaccinated. Doctors are refusing to provide medical care to the unvaccinated. Hollywood entertainers are celebrating the deaths of unvaccinated people, saying they deserve to die, and are calling for the unvaccinated who get COVID to be denied admission to hospitals for treatment. Judges are separating children from mothers who have not gotten a COVID shot. Influential scientists are insisting lawmakers make it a hate crime for anyone to publicly criticize scientists and government health officials. Dissenters are told they are selfish and characterized as an enemy of the state for simply defending the human right to informed consent to medical risk-taking. The normalizing of the ritualistic persecution of Americans who are refusing to give up the right to autonomy, which is the first and most fundamental human right, is underway. The Orwellian message is, the life of any person who dissents from government policy must be systematically destroyed. Demanding obedience, government health officials characterized public health policies that segregate, discriminate, and turn people against each other as the good. Yet a lot of Americans instinctively know segregation and discrimination is not good. They know that persuading a majority of citizens to scapegoat a minority of citizens to cover up the failures of government is allowing evil to triumph. Dissenting Americans, both vaccinated and unvaccinated, fill the ranks of every socioeconomic class, every political party, and every faith-based community. They understand the meaning of the warning that, quote, the only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And they are not going to stand by and do nothing. When government threatens to take away an individual's right to employment, education, health care, and the ability to enter a store to buy food, enter a hospital, or travel on public transportation, there is no other word for it but tyranny. This virus, which has a 99% survival rate, and this leaky vaccine, which fails to reliably prevent infection and transmission in the fully vaccinated, has racked up a record-breaking more than 500,000 vaccine adverse event reports in the U.S. alone. It will not be the last virus and vaccine to be weaponized against the people in the name of the greater good. That is because forced vaccination is the tip of the spear in a culture war that has been going on for much longer than the 40 years that I have been a vaccine safety and human rights activist, publicly warning that this day would come. It is a war that will cause more suffering until enough of us refuse to be siloed and instead join together to change dangerous laws that abuse the trust and goodwill of the people. Every single American, whether you have been vaccinated or not, should stop to reflect upon what is happening in our country. Think about what liberty means. Imagine what life will be like in the future if you cannot leave your home without being harnessed to a government-issued digital ID, which contains personal information about your body and your life, and is hooked up to an electronic surveillance system that records and controls every move you make. Imagine if you are a healthcare worker and your medical license is taken from you for refusing to get a government-mandated vaccine, which is a public health policy being implemented in Washington, D.C., a city where doctors can now vaccinate children as young as 11 years old without the knowledge or consent of their parents. Imagine if you cannot hold any type of job or enter a grocery store to buy food, to feed your family, or enter a drugstore, cafe, gym, school, cinema, museum, park, or beach without showing proof you've been vaccinated. Imagine if you are denied entrance to a doctor's office or lose your Medicare and Social Security benefits because you don't have the vaccine passport, a suggestion made recently on national television. Imagine if you cannot get on a plane or bus to visit your children or elderly parents because federal government officials have exercised authority over interstate commerce and banned the unvaccinated from crossing state borders, an action that some proponents of forced vaccination are urging the current administration to make. Imagine if you cannot get a driver's license, file your taxes, open or access your bank account, or use a credit card to make a purchase if you fail to produce the required vaccine paperwork stamped by the government. Imagine if you or your child have already suffered a previous serious vaccine reaction, or have an underlying inflammatory immune disorder that increases your risk for being harmed by vaccination, but doctors refuse to see you because you are unvaccinated, which is already happening in America, and you are denied admission to a hospital for a life-saving operation. If you think that the vaccine passport is only about this virus and this vaccine, think again. Forced vaccination was always the end game, both before and during this pandemic. And the proof of that lies in the decades of federal legislation and federal agency rulemaking, paving the way for what we are experiencing today. Right now, forced vaccination is the quickest means to what the World Economic Forum transparently describes on its website as the Great Reset. You, your children and grandchildren are the commodity. And in the name of the greater good, you are expected to obediently allow others to reset your life in all kinds of ways without making a sound. The government-issued passport allowing you to function in society is just the first step on the slippery slope to what will be many more requirements and restrictions on your freedom in the days, months, and years to come. The question is, will you allow yourself to be used and abused by those currently holding the power to do what they want to do to you? Or will you defend your God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? This pandemic of deception and incompetence has stolen from our daily lives the peace and joy we deserve to have, leaving too many of us confused and paralyzed by fear, divided from our family and friends, crippled with anxiety and despair, allowing hopelessness to rule our days. It doesn't have to be like this. We can refuse to be psychologically manipulated so we are stripped of love and compassion and are unable to engage in rational thinking. We can push back against the authoritarians taking away our freedom and trying to divide us. We can do it the way that all successful social reform movements before us have done it, through actively participating in local, state, and federal government, and by engaging in non-violent civil disobedience if that becomes necessary. Instead of allowing ourselves to be separated from one another, we can stay connected and meet together in small groups in our homes and neighborhoods. We can develop personal relationships with our elected officials at every level of government, from our local sheriff and elected members of local school boards and city and county councils to our elected state and federal legislators. If we don't like the way the people we have elected are governing, we can vote them out or run for office ourselves and help change the laws. We can talk to the young men and women serving in our community police departments and the U.S. military to remind them of how important it is to value and protect human rights and civil liberties so that if they are ever called upon to implement authoritarian rule, they will make the right choice. Above all, we can be self-disciplined and make rational decisions that do not lead to violent confrontations, because that kind of behavior only plays into the hands of those whose ultimate goal is to take away autonomy and more individual freedoms in the United States. During the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s, the most profound statements were made by those who sat down in the front of the bus or in a chair at a segregated restaurant or other public place and simply refuse to move. There are restaurant owners in New York City who are refusing to follow orders directing them to discriminate against and deny service to the unvaccinated. There are veteran healthcare workers on the front lines caring for patients during the pandemic who are being fired for supporting informed consent rights and giving up their careers to stand on principle. Many of them suspect that the next cruel order they will be told to obey is to deny life-saving medical treatment to unvaccinated patients. There are corporate CEOs and union leaders who are refusing to bow to political pressure to require rank-and-file workers to get the vaccine or risk losing their jobs. There are courageous doctors and scientists who have never spoken out publicly before, who are risking their careers by demanding that mass vaccination policies be backed up by good science, who are challenging the government's narrative that natural immunity is not as good as vaccine-acquired immunity, who are criticizing the long-term safety of mRNA vaccines and providing convincing evidence that the SARS-CoV-2 virus did not spontaneously jump out of a bat, but was genetically engineered by scientists in biohazard labs. There are state lawmakers who are listening to the people and refusing to vote for the passage of forced vaccination laws that perpetuate the illusion that vaccine passports are the only solution to ending the pandemic. These Americans are rejecting authoritarianism. They are heroes, and they are on the right side of history. They and many other brave Americans are helping us make our way through this time of fear, oppression, and suffering when the cultural values and beliefs that have guaranteed freedom in this great country of ours are being tested. I believe we will come together and pass this test. We will act responsibly to protect our liberty. We will restore the spirit of freedom to its rightful place at the center of our culture. We will do it because we know that if the state can tag, track down, and force individuals against their will to be injected with biologicals of known and unknown toxicity today, then there will be no limit on which individual freedoms the state can take away in the name of the greater good tomorrow. You can choose to be a hero wherever you live. You can choose to reject the ugly call to shame and punish your friends, family members, neighbors, colleagues, and fellow citizens for defending the human right to autonomy and protection of bodily integrity, which is the essence of the informed consent ethic. You can choose freedom over fear. Be the one who never has to say, "You did not do today what you could have done to change tomorrow." Do it for yourself, your children and grandchildren, and for all the generations to come. It's your health, your family, your choice. And our mission continues. No forced vaccination, not in America.
That was Barbara Lowe Fisher, co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center, a nonprofit charity she founded with the parents of vaccine-injured children in 1982. We go now to hear the presentation from attorney Tom Rentz. Let's have a listen.
So I'm going to do something a little different today. You know, normally I just speak from the heart. Today I actually got a presentation. The reason I did that, it's because we've got a number of whistleblowers that came forward, and they gave me some real, real important stuff. And I don't want to get any of it wrong. And there's too much. There's too much. So I want to start out, and I want to tell you this. Not too long ago, our president stood up, and he said on national TV, talking about our healthcare decisions, that it is not a matter of freedom or individual liberty. I got news for you. It is. And we're going to remind you of that. I'm going to show you guys some stuff. This is going to be some big stuff. So here's what I'm going to do. Mr. President, you asked us attorneys to bring it. Here you go. When I'm done, here's the thing though. I may not be the brightest, but I'm smart enough to know when you're fighting the federal government that's totally corrupt and you're fighting this kind of a machine, you want to bring your tools, right? You want to bring your soldiers. I want every one of you, when I get done, this presentation is going to be on my website. I need this viral. I need everyone in the globe to see this. Because I'm going to show you. Remember when the FDA said that, you know, there's no deaths? They lied. And I'm going to show you that they knew they lied. So let's talk about this. Can we put this presentation up? I want everybody to see this as we're going. Okay. You have to let me. I entertain myself, right? I mean, I'm working, 24/7. I got to do something. So I got a little. We're going to fact check, right? Because I get fact checked all the time. They fact check my 45K. By the way, they're right. The number is no longer accurate. It's a lot more. So we're asking the fact checkers to post their apologize to y'all when we're done. I found that entertaining. Okay, next slide. How many of you heard of Uttar Pradesh in India? They gave their people ivermectin. You know what happened? There's no more COVID. You know the horse medicine? You know, that one? Yeah. Okay, next slide. We're going to keep moving. There's a lot. There's a lot here. 18.1% of the people are on Medicare, right? Medicare and the CMS servers, which is where a lot of my whistleblower data is coming from. Medicare is a very important set of data, and I'll show you why in a little bit, but I want you to remember that. 18.1%, okay? So when I talk to you about numbers, these are from 18.1% of our entire country. So, you know, it's not fair to say that you can actually multiply it by five, but, you know, my statisticians would probably flip if I tell them that, but, you know, it's about a fifth of our country, right? So 18% of our country. Next slide. This is the number of people who have died within 14 days of getting one of the vaccines on Medicare. This is raw data. Raw. There's no analysis. 14 days. You want to know why 14 days is important, ladies and gentlemen? Because if you die within 14 days, you're not considered vaccinated. So these 48,000 people that died within 14 days, now I'm going to be fair. I'm going to say probably some of them died from other causes. You think it was 48,000 of them? You think 48,000? You think none of these were vaccine deaths? Because I'm pretty sure I keep hearing the CDC saying, no, we have no credible data, you know, people dying from this vaccine. Well, according to your servers, I don't know if that's true. Next slide. You know what this is? This is a present for the scumbag fact checkers that keep lying. This is a picture of the raw data from the Medicare servers. Take a look, guys. Fact check that. And I want to know, are you going to fact check DHHS now? You going to fact check Fauci? There's the facts. Next slide. Another screenshot. Another screenshot. By the way, not only do I have the screenshots, I have the algorithm that was used to analyze the raw data, and I have everything else. Fact check that. There's some liars here, but I'm going to tell you who it isn't. Next slide. Remdesivir. My buddy Brian Artis, this is for you. I don't know where you're at, brother, but here you go. So, real number on remdesivir. 25.9% of the people treated under Medicare with remdesivir died. 46% of that 25.9 died within 14 days. Remdesivir causes kidney failure. We're going to have more numbers and more data, but it's a disaster. This is them putting you in the hospital. They poison your kidneys, and they watch you die. Next slide. Safe and effective, right? Is this safe and effective? Doesn't look like it to me. I'm going to let you guys read this. I know we're running behind, so I'm going to try and keep things moving because I want this shared, and I want you to read it. So I'm not going to go through everything. I want you to read this. I want you to understand this because you guys have been defrauded by your government. Next slide. Ivermectin. Well, in one case, you have 25.9% of the people dying. In another case, you got 7.2. That's a factor a little over 3. I mean, I'm not a mathematician. I'm going, you know, if it's me or my loved one, I'm thinking I'd rather have the horse medicine. Right? Right? By the way, you see that where it says number of beneficiaries prescribed ivermectin? I thought we didn't prescribe it because it's dangerous. Remember, this is only 20% of the country, 18%. Next slide. Oh, by the way, at the bottom of that last slide, did you see the money stuff? Okay. This is the cost. I'm not saying that the hospitals prefer remdesivir because they make money. Next slide. This, by the way, is more data from the CMS servers. So fact check me again, guys. Please. I challenge you in the AP, at the WAPO, at every other scumbag piece of garbage trash newspaper out there that's been hammering me and my family. Let's fact check, boys and girls. Let's fact check. Let's see what Anthony Fauci has to say about this. We got his data, buddy. The lawsuits will follow. Next slide. You know what this is? This is from the NIH. Did you know that ivermectin is an investigatory drug for COVID? When your hospital says, oh, the NIH won't let us, they're liars. The NIH is pressuring them not to, for sure, because they want to push the death numbers up. But it's from the NIH website. Looks like an investigatory drug to me. I mean, I think I can read. Next slide. HCQ, you know, remember the thing that Trump pushed that was going to kill everybody? You know, the one where they did the study and they OD'd people on it, giving them multiple factor of the lethal dose to kill them so that they could have some garbage study that then some bought and paid for journal could publish to just, I guess, to undermine Trump and also to ensure that those death numbers kept going up. Why have we been prescribing it everywhere for years? Any of you got lupus? I'm thinking that if you do, I know there's a few people that are treated with it. Are you dead? HCQ? Ivermectin depends on the doctor, right? So I talk to more doctors, and they're all smarter than me, so I can't get into the argument about which is better. Don't know. Don't care. I just know they both work better than remdesivir, and I know when people are taking them, they aren't dying. Yes, they, you know what? God bless you, sir. I'll pray for your family, and I hope everybody else here does too. Someone just said that they killed his dad, and I'm guessing they probably killed a lot of your family members, because if you've been in the hospital recently, you know what? Let's do this. If you've had a family member or a friend that's been killed in the hospital, they wouldn't give them the treatment. Can you stand up right now? How is that, ladies and gentlemen? How is that? I have doctor after doctor after doctor. You guys can sit back down. Telling me. We got multiple doctors using the McCullough protocol, using the Zelenko protocol, using the Math Plus protocol, haven't lost a patient, treated thousands of them. We got some of them that have been speaking here. Any of you guys, were they treating them with the McCullough protocol? I'll bet you, because I know, because I get email and call after call from people begging me to help them as they're murdering their loved ones. I'll bet you that if you did ask them for that, they threw you out of the hospital and wouldn't even let you see your loved one. You know how I know that? Because they do it everywhere in the country. Tell me that's not coordinated. Tell me that's not coordinated. These people have declared war on the American people for money and power. These people are scumbags. They're garbage. They're just the worst. You see that amount per I point because, you know, we've got the screen in front of me as well. So I'm not just pointing at birds. So you see the numbers there. Again, a wee bit lower than remdesivir. Just saying. Next slide. So, we're going to talk about side effects, right? There aren't any. Fauci keeps telling me, right? Next slide. You see this? You see that bottom highlighted in red thing? That point is from the FDA presentation, you know, the one that I guess they didn't want anybody to see. FDA plans on using CMS data for COVID-19 vaccination adverse event reporting, right? Right? CMS. You know that data that I just showed you? That's all from CMS. Okay, so they're telling you that they're monitoring CMS, but they didn't know this. Next slide. This is the list of side effects, right? So if you're monitoring CMS, let's say they said, well, you know, nothing on CMS says vaccine death, right? And it wouldn't, because they don't have a code for vaccine death. They don't want that tracked. So when you're in the hospital and you're sick, you're dying, there's a code. You get a code. You've got the flu, you've got pneumonia, you've got cancer, you've got whatever. It's all got codes. There's no code for vaccine injury or death for the COVID vaccines. Okay. So maybe they looked at their Medicare or CMS data, and they didn't see anything because there's no code. It's an oversight on their part. Obviously, it's an accident. But luckily, the FDA in that same presentation gave us this list of side effects. Now, I want to remind you all, these are safe and effective, and no one's had any of these side effects, right? None. You're all healthy if you've got it. Hopefully, you've had 10 boosters. Next. This is the number of those side effects that have occurred in New York only. The FDA told us in the last slide that they were, in the two slides back, that they're monitoring Medicare data. They told us that. They then said, we're looking for these side effects. They then tell you, the American people, that there's no side effects, except for, here's the data. Ladies and gentlemen, I may not be a good lawyer, but I would say that case is closed. They are lying. There's no question that they're lying. I just showed you the proof. This is from the CMS servers. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got them. Mr. President, you wanted us to bring it? Now, I'm going to be interested to know whether Mr. President is going to do anything with this or just lie some more and watch more people to die. That's the reason I'm here, right? This is all going to end up in cases because I sue everybody. But the courts are slow. They just are. I can't keep watching people die, so I need your help. I'm going to keep fighting. I need you guys to get this out. You need to show everybody in the world this data. You need to show. We just showed you. It's not like they might have lied. There's no question. This is as clear as day. They have been outright lying through their teeth. Next slide. You know what this is? This is a little bit of info for you on Pfizer. You know, that safe and effective vaccine. The one that they gave approval to the community that's, you know, kind of like it, but not exactly like it, and we're not sure what's in it, but we're going to approve it anyways, and maybe you'll get it someday. Okay, Pfizer. Next slide. By the way, I got a lot of whistleblowers that helped me with this. These people, these Johns and Jane Does, These are heroes. This is the only hope that we have, because they are, the government is so corrupt and lying so badly, we would never have it. So they need thank you. I'd like Karen Kingston to come out here if she could. Of my whistleblowers, they're all staying anonymous, except for Karen. Karen's been very outspoken. Thanks to Karen, we found some really interesting things. And, you know, Karen, I want you guys to understand this, right? As Fauci's making buck after buck after buck killing people, as the Gates Foundation that owns Pfizer, and, you know, all these other scumbags that are out there, as they're rolling in the money, new billionaires every day in the pharma. Let me tell you what's happening. Our side, you know, us crazy right-wing wackos, whatever we are, right? People like Karen, they're giving up the cushy jobs because they have the courage to speak out for what's right. She deserves a round of applause. Karen brought a couple documents to my attention, and here's a pretty little excerpt from one of those documents. Do you know what it says? I'm not going to read that all to you guys. I'm just going to summarize. It says that if you got the Pfizer vax, you're more likely to get COVID. More likely. It says it right there. I even underlined it. Actually, I think she underlined it. Someone underlined it. You can't miss it. You get the COVID vaccine, you're more likely to get COVID. Seriously? Seriously? I mean, I'm kind of, it's unbelievable. What can I even say about that? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Really? Okay, next slide. This is the head page for another study that Karen got for me. Next slide. You know what this says? I'm gonna simplify this one just kind of. This says that if you really want to know whether you're getting the Comirnaty or what you're getting, well, you're kind of out of luck. If you really want to know what you're getting, you're going to have to ask your doctor to go online and look it up and go through some big process. So FYI, guys, hurry, go get the jab. Don't worry what's in it. They don't even know. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Next slide. So we're working on this, right? I got some other things that we didn't have time to get into this because we just ran out of time before this, but I wanted you guys to see this. So, shedding. We keep hearing stories about people who didn't get vaccinated but are around a bunch of people that were, and then the next day they're sick and they're just really coming down with something, right? What's happening? I wasn't around anybody that's sick. They were, you know, the people who weren't around anybody that was sick, right? Well, let me tell you what's going on, or what it looks like's going on. Now, we're going to get to the bottom of this, because if they're going to mandate these vaccines for most people, or push to mandate it, and all these buffoons that are running out and getting it are saying, well, you've got to get it because you've got to keep me safe. You got to quit getting it because you're making me sick. Not only is your stupidity shedding, I'm sorry, I can't be like, that's so wrong. I'm better, listen, we got to be better than that. I just get, you know, I get frustrated, right? I get frustrated, right? This document is from Pfizer. It's an excerpt from the document. I got links there, you know, in case they want to fact check me. And, it says that it's a reportable safety risk, you know, if you got vaccinated or around someone who was getting pregnant around that time. Why would that be a reportable safety risk? You know, they talk about it being air, skin, it's all reportable.
What?
I thought shedding was a myth. Why is that a reportable safety event? What? Doesn't make any sense. Well, makes total sense if it's happening. Next slide. So, through a series of documents, and we lay those out in this slide, we come to the fact that Pfizer agreed to do a study. Somewhere near the bottom of this, you'll see that that study is based on a document from the FDA. That document is titled Design and Analysis of Shedding Studies for Virus or Bacteria-Based Gene Therapy, .. Wait a second. Wait. Did Pfizer just agree to do a study on their vaccine that's about shedding and gene therapy? Does it shed? Is it gene therapy? It looks like this might just be an admission to me. We'll see in court. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I just did was I laid out an immense amount of evidence. An immense amount. Thank you, Karen. We have everything to back this up. You want to fact check this? You scumbag garbage newspapers? Let me suggest that you start out by going to the people whose lies you've been buying and publishing for the last year and a half. Let me suggest that you fact check Anthony Fauci. Let me suggest that you fact check even our president. Ladies and gentlemen, I need your help now. You know, the guy that was elected. Okay. No. You know, your president. No, okay, I'm just antagonizing. I'm just teasing. Okay, guys, I need you guys to help me get this word out. I need everyone in this country to look at this and to push this and to get the word out. We've got them. Everything here is verifiable. Everything. But the courts are slow. The court of public opinion can be much faster. The general just asked you to stand up and fight. He said it may not be comfortable. It might not. I'm going to tell you, I have rough days. So what? Suck it up. Our founding fathers did, and look at what they gave us. Now let me tell you something. You got two options. We can throw away what they gave us, what our veterans have fought for, or we can stand up and fight, even if it's a little bit uncomfortable. When my grandpa was in World War II, it was not comfortable. When our family members, our brothers and sisters, and you all got them, that have went off to war, went off to this, that have fought for our freedom, it wasn't comfortable. Ladies and gentlemen, it may be uncomfortable for you to share this information everywhere. The fact checkers are going to help now because, you know, they have facts. It may be uncomfortable. And I'm going to say some of you might lose your jobs. What is your freedom worth? What is your family's health worth? What is your future worth? What are we giving to our children? Stand up and fight, or we lose our country. God bless America. Thank you all, and thank you, God.
Okay, real quick here. Hey, don't get too excited about this guy. I talk to this guy almost every day. Let me tell you. He's the worst salesperson in the whole world. He's a great attorney, but terrible sales guy. So that's my job. Okay, so here's the deal. I need everybody to go to rins-law.com. I'm the worst attorney in the world, okay? But He's the best. Okay, but go to renz-law.com. 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 If you're an attorney who wants to get into the fight, renz-law.com. Many of you this morning asked me, how can I find an attorney in my state that'll fight back? Renz, that's renz-law.com, renz-law.com. And if people want to support you, are you going to sell them a rock, or how can you legally sell them something so they can support the cause? Is there something you can do there to raise some funds?
We're working on it. Right now, support our partners, the ChristianRevolution.net, MAFA, Make Americans Free Again, America's Frontline Doctors, Stands Up Groups. Please support our partners. We have a C3. Shockingly, the IRS found some issues. I'm sure there was some serious issues. So we're getting that back going. As soon as we get that back up, we'll talk about that some more. But right now, support our partners.
That's Renz. It's renz-law.com, renz-law.com. One more time, folks. Let's hear it for the incredible Mr. Thomas Renz.
Tom was a guest on the show about a year ago this week, and the link to that show will be included on this week's post. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.